You know, we're entering into the time where we're going to worship God by listening to God and listening to His Word. And what's interesting about it is that the Bible very clearly teaches us that we cannot comprehend what God is saying with our human mind. So if you're listening to me and you're processing it with your intellect, you're going to walk away and you're not going to get what God is trying to give you, because that is spiritually revealed, and it's spiritually revealed in His presence. So if you are asking God to speak to you and to show you who He is and to understand Him better and to understand how you can serve Him and understand who you are in God's eyes, and you are open for God to open your mind to what you don't think, then you can be really surprised that God speaks to you. But you can't, it's just like this song right here. Jesus taught in parables, He taught in illustrations, He taught in a way that you could hear what He was saying and miss the point completely. We just got done singing, "I will not delay." God will not delay. He will not delay. Not me. I'll delay. God won't delay, right? God won't delay. Well, let me tell you something. From the human point of view, God promises you He will delay. Because Rachel just told you she started the prayer and felt like she wanted to find a way to be able to go and to minister to the most hurting people in 2014. I just added in my head, which I probably need my son to check because I'm not great at math, but I think that's 7 years. Is that right? That's the same as it was with Joseph in each stage. And she had a job that was really tough, counseling rape victims. Let me tell you, that's the most hurting people. And God was preparing her for that, but He delayed the job that she really wanted and gave her job she didn't want for 7 years. But He didn't delay, because each step along the way, just like she talked about, He gave her from His word a piece about going forward where she was. He didn't delay in abandoning her. He strengthened her, and He saw her through to get her where she could fulfill that dream. And so as we look here, let's just pray before we start. Father, our heart's desire is that we don't lean on our own understanding and try to figure out on a human level what Your word is saying, but what we want to do is we want to know You and understand Your heart, and we want to ask You right now to reveal to us what the truth is when You're present and when Your will is being done. And we want to ask You to help us to see what You're doing in our lives so that we can take the next step with You rather than struggling against You to try to get someplace else too quickly. And so we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Well, somebody posted this up, and I pulled this off because I happen to know this person and have been, you know, talking with them and meeting them with them. And I just want to read this because this is a good example of answered prayer. So this last year has been pretty crazy. There's been a lot of pain and confusion, a lot of trials and hardships, a lot of humility and recompense. And through it all, I have seen a lot of change and growth. I have turned fear into hope and depression into faith. I am so grateful for the peace that God has given me and the blessings that He has provided. I know He's been working in all of this and will one day use me and my experience to help others in their journey through life. I am so grateful, and this is not my story, so I'm not going to point out the things that God turned around in their life, but He listed them there. I am so grateful, and he ends up saying, God can truly perform miracles and move mountains when they need to be moved. Well, that's the testimony of someone who's had a prayer answered, a big prayer answered. And this is how God wants to work in our lives. He wants us to be able to find prayer as the power tool God uses to move us into the place that we need to be in our hearts so that he can take us where he wants us to go. And so if you will just open with me in your Bibles. Oh, no, don't open yet because I've got two verses first. Sorry, got ahead of myself. We're studying worship, and as we said before, this is a spiritual discipline. And that's why we study it, right? Because we want to understand it, because on our human thinking, a lot of things are confusing or don't seem to make sense, or we take them the wrong way. Like what Jesus says in John 14, 13. You can ask anything in my name, and I will what? I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Well, you know what a lot of people interpret this verse? God wants us to pray and ask him for things. Because when he gives us things, it shows that he's powerful, and that brings glory to the Father. And that sounds logical until you try it. And then you have to make yourself pretend like he didn't do what you asked all the time. Because this says that he will do not what you ask some of the time, but he says anything that you ask, which means all the time, right? And so they wonder, what in the world is going on? And they know that there's this part of the verse that says, in my name. Well, that's a very important part of the verse. Because what Jesus is talking about and what the Bible talks about when it says that we are ambassadors for Christ and that we are the light of the world, what he's talking about is that the person praying understands, I represent God to the world. And so everything that happens in my life, I want to make sure that my life represents what God is like and that I am doing things the way God would want me to do, so people look at me and they understand, okay, I see what God is like. Now, I know I can't always do that, so that's where repentance, you know, confession, repentance comes in, where God never has to do that, but we do, right? But we're not hiding things. We're open before God. We are humble before God. We can take correction from God. And people around us need to be able to see that. And so if I am praying in his name as his representative, then he says, I will do it so that it can bring glory or greatness to God. Because what happens is if Christ is really our leader, and we are really trying to obey and please him, it shows that his kingdom is great. It includes us. And it includes Jacob. And it includes Asa. And it includes Shelley. And it includes Mark. And the more of us who are doing that, the more greatness or glory it gives to God. The next verse I want you to look at is 1 John 4:14. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, you know, most people want to be at the surface and they don't really want to dig down to realize that, you know what prayer is? Prayer is bringing your natural mind that thinks differently from God up to a level where you start to understand what God's will is so that you can cooperate with him in what he's doing. And once you're cooperating with God, your prayers are going to get answered. If you're fighting against God with good intentions because you know what God wants to do, you just want it to happen faster before people are prepared for it, then you're going to find that your prayers are on hold. Or maybe not going to get answered for what you're praying for. So this is a very, very important verse. When I'm praying according to God's will, he hears us. And I want you to ask yourself here, because I know all of us are growing in this, how many of your prayers do you pray that you know this is what God wants? You know that this is God's will. And Jesus tells us how we know that, because a lot of times you think, okay, what is God's will? You know, I've got all these things happening. I've got pressures on me right here. I'm thinking here. I'm not thinking God's kingdom expansion, which is how God's thinking. I'm not thinking about how God is going to use my situation and use what I'm asking for his glory to increase the kingdom. I'm asking because I need some relief, okay? And so Jesus tells us, he says, okay, if you want to know God's will, this is how you have to do it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is the problem that we have in a lot of our prayers. We don't start our prayers with God's word. We don't include God's word in our prayer to help God reveal to us in our situation two, maybe 3,500 years after it was written, but it's still alive, and God still breathes into us life through that word. We're not looking for God to breathe into us the life and the connection with his particular will for us. And so we kneel and pray without God's word. We're hoping our emotions or our intellect will connect us with God. And I'm not sure if there's anybody in here who thinks that their intellect is big enough to connect with the purposes that God has. So we're going to take a look at what the pattern of prayer that connects us with God. Why do we even have this book? Some people think we've got this book to study it like we study a course in school so that we can have the right answer and so we can know, you know, what the best thing to do is. And all of that wisdom is in here, but that's not what this book is about. Because I can actually do the right thing but be unconcerned about God or what he wants in my life, but I'm doing the right thing, and yes, my life will be better if I do the right thing. But that's still a description of someone who's lost. This book is to connect us with God through the understanding of the great plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And when we read this, we are reading this to connect with a person who has given us living words that, even though they were written for someone else, they mean something to Lisa, they mean something to Abby, they mean something to me. It may be different things in different situations, but that truth of God is for my situation too. And so let's take a look at this this psalm right here, Psalms 63. And I'm just going to kind of walk through it because this is a really, really good expression of why David was so connected and so close to God, why he was close to God's heart. And it starts off and it says, "Oh God, you are my God." And I think I might have it in this translation here too. So I'm gonna put it up there just in case you don't have a Bible, but you can look at it in yours. I'm reading from the New Living Translation because in the Psalms, I like this best. "Oh God, you are my God." So David is starting off and he's saying, "God, look, you, I see you as the one who created me. I see you as the one who owns the universe. I see you as the one I belong to. I see you as above everything." That's a good way to start your prayers off. It's a good thing to remind yourself of, especially when your problems seem bigger than God. "I earnestly search for you." This is a difference in what David, who matured to be very close to God, has and where we start off in Christianity. Most of the time, when we're young, we're searching for the answer. Jesus is the answer. And so he says, "Look, I'm searching for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." He's expressing to God that he understands that this world is a parched, dry land. You know, the world is telling us, and we're immature, we really believe we can find satisfaction and fulfillment in the world. And we're really working to get that. And he comes to God saying, "Look, I know this offers this, and if I can do this, I'm going to be famous, and if I do this, I'm going to be accepted by people, and if I do this, I'm going to feel good. I know it's offering all these things, but this is a dry, parched land. This world can never fulfill me. You have created me so that no matter what I take to find fulfillment at the moment, if you are not at the center of it, you have made me so that I will not be satisfied. As time goes on, it will not be enough. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, I have seen in your sanctuary, I have seen you in your sanctuary. I'm searching for you, I have seen you. My prayer is about seeing and being with and understanding who you are. Reveal to me who you are. And gazed upon, some of your translations say beheld, which means I see and I understand your power and your glory. Verse 3 says, your unfailing love, some of your translations say steadfast love. That love that no matter what happens or where I'm at, God's love is there, and it can't be shaken. I can be shaken, but God can't be shaken. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. Now I'm telling you, when you have this attitude and you're praying with this attitude, God can hear you and God is going to answer your prayers. I will praise you. Oh, how I praise you. Some translations say my lips will glorify you. In other words, the things that I'm saying here and the things I'm saying to other people, they're going to be about how great you are. I'm exalting you because that's who you are. Lifting up my hands to you in prayer. And some of your translations say, I bless you as long as I live. And that's an interesting way to look at it too, because I like that word there, and I see why they translated it that way. Because as a father, you know, I know what it's like when your child comes up to you and you go, oh yeah, you're so good at that. Oh, you're stronger than anybody. Oh, you're, you know, and I don't hear that much anymore, but when they were younger, how many of you parents remember hearing that kind of thing? How to make you feel? It's a blessing to know your kids love you. It's a blessing to know your kids respect you. It's a blessing to know that your kids want to know what you think. It's a blessing to God when we speak of his greatness. And he goes on and he says in verse 5, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. There's nothing in this world that I'm searching for that I think is going to satisfy me more than you. I will praise you with the songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you. Some of your verses say, remember you. Because in our thinking, sometimes we just forget who God is. And we come to him in prayer, and in our minds, it's like we don't even see who he is. And God wants that relationship with us, where our hearts are one, just like when our kids come and appreciate what we've done and thank the world of us, you know, it makes us want to bless them too and to help them. I will praise you with the songs of joy. While I lie awake, thinking of you, in verse 6, meditating on you through the night. When we're reading God's word, we're reading God's word first to see who he is. And then to see who we are and to see what the right thing for us to do is. So he meditates on God through the night. He understands who God is. And then he praises him. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. He realizes that God is covering him. I cling to you. Some of your translations say, I stay close to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. This is the attitude of prayer that God wants us to have. This is worship. And this is the attitude that puts God in a place where he says, man, Asiya, you got such a wonderful attitude and you are so open and attentive to me and my leadership. Let me lead you. I know right now you're not going to fight me in this. So I don't have to be careful what I give you. And we've all had it with our kids where we have to be careful what we give them because we know their attitudes with it aren't right. And we don't want to give them a good thing that destroys their life. And God is the same way. Oh, I guess I forgot to go through this. Well, I'm just going to blame it on being focused on God. But you had your Bible, so we're good. And so when we pray and we look at praying, we realize that this is a spiritual discipline. And everything that happens with a discipline, you got to start off teaching. And so we realize if it's a spiritual discipline, we got to learn. You know, the problem with modern church today is the modern church is looking for converts. They think that the church is a place that we can get people in here to come to Christ. No. The church is a place for people who've already come to Christ to become disciplined followers so they can go out and lead people to Christ and bring them in. If we take the church and bring it down to the level of conversion, where are we going to get any mature Christians? I guess the pastor will have to do all the evangelism because nobody else is digging deep enough, and they're constantly being told it's all on the surface. It's all on the surface. Life is not on the surface. Life is feeling a calling from God and seeing no possible way you can get there and spending 7 years struggling to be faithful until God opens the door and then realize, yeah, he was with me all the way. And that takes discipline. And so prayer is a discipline. And the way we naturally think of things is not the way God thinks of things. And so, you know, not only do we have to be taught, and we can teach ourselves looking at the Bible, but part of that, what we do here is get you thinking in those directions. But then there's always rebuke, because if we're human beings, we're not doing it God's way, are we? We've all gone astray, and so God's got to say, stop. And then there's correction. You say, okay, you're not going the right way. Here's the right way to go. And if our hearts are open because we've been taught, we go that way. And then when we're going that way, we start to develop habits. And then we realize, oh my goodness, I don't know what happened inside of me. It's called transformation. It's called renewing of the mind. I don't think the same way, so I don't feel the same way. Next thing I know, I actually think I'm a little more Christ-like, which is how God works to develop us. Now, we're going to pass out to you real quickly this little booklet. And I got this from Jonathan's winter retreat, and Monica made this up, and I just pulled out the devotional. So if you guys will pass them out real quickly, I'm going to kind of go through a couple of pages here. And the reason I gave these to you, these are just the devotionals taken out. And in there are three different ways to help you start dissecting so you can look at what God is saying in the Bible. Okay, and those three different techniques. One of them you may look at and say, "Man, I really like this," or you might like trying all three of them with different verses or whatever. But I gave this to you so you'll have kind of a tool that you've got beside you if you want to look at. Now, when you open it up, you realize that to make the pages work, you've got this book belongs to you. All the kids fill that out. You don't have to fill that one out because we're not going to a retreat. If you turn to this page right here, you'll notice that, let me grab one there. I forgot to get mine. And my eyesight's not good enough to see the other. You'll notice that there are a few things right here. This is off the youth retreat. And it talks about praying, and it says you got to make it a routine. And it's not a spiritual discipline if it's not a routine. If your prayer life is one that you catch here and you catch there, and especially catch when you got trouble or whatever, it's not a habit. It's not a discipline. And so if you want a spiritual discipline, you have to make it a habit. And you have to, in the next part it says, you have to know who you're speaking to. That means when we come to pray to God, our attention has to be on who? Not our needs, not on ourselves and how we feel. If we're going to enter into God's presence and receive from him the things that his Spirit wants to give us, we have to focus on him. And remember that God cares about you. As we think about and praise God for his characteristics, I think most of us are going to thank him for his mercy, for his grace, for his unfailing love, for his faithfulness to us and those things. But we need to be reminded of those things. You need to open up your Bible. And you need to start with thanksgiving. Thanking God for the things that He is and the things that He's done or the things that you want Him to do because of who He is. And you need to listen to His voice. Now, the first devotion is Psalms 101. This is what the kids did. And I suggest you do it and just see if this is a pattern that you want to go along with. They read through Psalms 101. And then they went down and they answered each one of these questions. And that leads you to kind of pull out things that you can meditate on and think of. The first one is they read through that psalm, and in this one, the first thing they did is they say, is there any sin that I need to confess? As I'm reading through this, is there anything I see in my life that's not in line with what God is saying for me? Well, if so, we need to confess that. Is there any promise in here that I need to claim? You know, sometimes you just need to claim a simple promise like God will forgive you. He's faithful and just to cleanse you. I don't know if I can get this anger out of my heart, but God can cleanse me. What is an attitude that I need to change? You know, so this takes some self-reflection and it takes some meditation. It takes this, what is God really trying to say about my life and what do I need to change? What's a command for me to obey? How do I apply what I'm thinking and what God is showing me? Who's an example for me to follow? What's the example in here, or what's an example that God brings to my mind that I can follow? What's a prayer for me to pray? What's a truth that I need to believe? What's something I can praise God for? If you look through this and you get an answer for each one of these, you're kind of prepared to enter into prayer. And then on the next page, you will see that it says, God's daily plan for me. What do I see in God today? That's the first question. And that's the most important question. As I seek for Him, what do I see about God? And then my prayers for today. You'll notice that as you see God clearer, that what you put in my prayers for today will start to change dramatically. And who will I encourage? Who can I share what God has done in my life with? And then what's the verse to meditate on today? If you take a look at the next one, it's a lot simpler. It's just a sword. And this one was done. They did it with Psalms 42. And I'd recommend that you go through these Psalms and just try these and see which one works the best for you. Right at the top of the sword, it says, what do I learn about God? When I read Psalm 42, what do I see it's telling me about God? If I think deeply about it, can I see something that I hadn't really ever thought about before? And then it goes down. Is there any sin that I need to avoid that this is talking about? Is there any command that I need to obey, something I might not be doing? Is there any promise here that I need to trust? Is there an example to follow? And what do I learn about man? What do I learn about human nature? Because that's where our temptation comes from. How will I allow this to change me? And once again, you've got that same thing. How do I see God and answer those questions? The last one is Psalm 40. And it's the SOAP method. We've got some people in here. I meet with two people that use this religiously, and they write it down. I've got one guy who writes in this big book, and he'll write pages. And I've got another guy I meet with who's got a smaller book, and he writes less, but he still writes some pages about it. The last 2 weeks, we've been looking over one of the soaps that he did, and so far, we're still on verse one or two in the psalm that he was looking at. But the soap method is just scripture, observation, application, prayer. And you look at the scripture, and you write out the passage from the day. And then you ask these questions, you know, who, what, where, when, why, as you read through the Who is speaking? Who is God speaking to? What is He trying to say? Where do I see this in my life? When is this going to happen? Or why is God trying to tell me this? Then you apply it and you write down, okay, how do I need to change my life according to the things that I'm seeing here? So there's introspection. There's looking to let God convict you. And then there's prayer. Asking God to show you any lessons that He wants to draw from these scriptures. And then you write down, how will I allow this to change me? I think it's a good tool. That's why I thought it was worth the time to bring that to you. And I'm going to just close with one example of this because, you know, I know some of you, you're looking at that and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure I pray that way. But we have more and more people sprinkled throughout here that do pray that way. And it's because in some of our groups, we've been teaching this and we've been learning it ourselves. And it's starting to produce the kind of real deep answers to prayer that you see right here. And so what I want you to do right here is I want you to close your Bible. And I know that sounds strange. But Ephesians was written as a letter. It was written as a letter to be read to the church. And I know sometimes when you're reading in different translations, it can kind of get a little confusing. And I don't want this to be confusing. So I'm going to read it here. And what I want you to do is just pretend it's 2,000 years ago and you're sitting in a church and Paul wrote this letter and the pastor got it and he's fixing to read it to you, okay? So just listen to these words and I'm going to read verses 3 through 14. And then I'm going to point out what one person in our life group saw in it. Here's what it says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news, that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, which he promised long ago. God's Spirit guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Now that's a bigger chunk of scripture than we usually look for, but it's so beautiful. We couldn't look at all of it, so I just told people, I said, hey, tell me the things that jump out at you. And we met for, I don't know, hour and 45 minutes or something like that. And we got ready to close. And when we did, I said, okay, this is your last chance. Anybody else got something to say? And Etta, she goes, you know, I've been looking at this. And when I looked at it, I saw all these words that pop up. And she started reading them. Bless us. Love us. Chose us. Adopts us into his family. Poured out his grace on us. Purchased for us our freedom, forgave us, showered his kindness on us, given us an inheritance, works out, saves us, identified us as his own, gave us his Holy Spirit, sealed us, guaranteed us. I mean, it's like we've had that down payment of that Holy Spirit in our heart that guarantees God's going to give us the rest. How many of you have ever bought a house in here and had to pay 20, 30, or 40% down? You pay 20% down on a house, it hurts to walk away. You're going to pay it. That's a guarantee you're going to pay it. Promised us purchased us, calls us his own people. And in Ephesians 1:14 at the end, he did this so that we would praise and glorify him. It's kind of like we picked everything apart and missed the big picture in one long run-on sentence. But when you stop and you sit and you pray and you're praying through and looking at all God has done for us in those 11 verses, you could pray forever. And you pray powerfully. And as you acknowledge to God all the greatness that you see in him, he starts to open your eyes to what's in front of you. And that's what we want in prayer. I'm going to read this last thing right here. I got this text from somebody. And I'm going to read it because it's an example of exactly how this prayer is. It's somebody who has learned to pray like this. And so they sent me a text with a prayer and the scripture that they were praying. It's Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Here's the prayer she texted. God, you are the Lord that heals. Thank you, Father, for your healing power in our lives. We are so grateful that you know right where we are. You love us in that, but you refuse to leave us there. You want us to grow and learn. Help us, Lord, to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That is part of the growth process. We want to walk more and more closely with you. I am asking God that you show us if there is an area of unkindness, an area of stone in our hearts, if there is any unforgiving spirit in us. We want to be cleared out and taken care of. We want that cleared out and taken care of. We want to walk in full fellowship with you. Help us. Help us remember that you are the God that heals and you want to heal our hearts today. We love you. Amen. Let me tell you something. A person who is praying like that is going to have their heart healed. And all of us have some scars and all of us have some things that it's hard not to let go of and that we don't want to carry with us. But when you start focusing on God and what he's done and what he wants to do and you start desiring that, let me tell you, the consequences are he answers your prayers, the deep ones that you really want. So let's just take a moment right here, and I'm going to give you just a minute just to converse with God about whatever it is that he is speaking to you and pulling up that you want to pray. So let's just take a minute, and this is your time to respond to God. Father, we want to be close to you. And we want a closer relationship with you. And I just allowed one minute of time to pray silently. And I know for some of us, it seemed like an eternity, and for others of us, our hearts are so full, we don't know what, we get cut off. And wherever we are in that process, though, Lord, we want to keep growing. We don't want a relationship with you that we create in our own minds or with our own emotions. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to know the God we worship. And we want you to take your word and to let our hearts be ignited with your presence and with the desire to be with you and to love you and to know you. And we want you to reveal yourself to us because we treasure your words and we obey, we listen to and obey your words. Father, we want to give ourselves to you because we see how wonderful you are, not because we know we're supposed to. And so I ask you, Father, to help us to develop more and more the discipline of praying with your word and listening as much as we're speaking. Hopefully, listening more than we're speaking. Because we want our prayers to be in line with you. Because we want them to glorify you as you answer them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.